Greetings to the Path family. Our slogan at the Path is meeting you where you are. We invite you to follow, share, and check us out on social media. You may connect with us at any time, anywhere, on Facebook at The Path Church or Instagram and Twitter at Join the Path. Without further delay, enjoy this week's sermon.
Good morning, Path family and friends. As a married couple walked through a garden, suddenly a dog ran towards them. Fido ran towards them. They both knew Fido was going to bite them. The husband lifted up his wife to let the dog bite him instead because he didn't want that dog to hurt his boo. The dog stopped before them, unsure what to do, barked a little and ran away. The wife shouted, "I've seen people throwing stones and sticks at dogs. It's the first time I see someone trying to throw his wife at a dog." Wow. Mama missed the boat. She missed the point. Hubby was trying to protect her. He put his own life on the line for her. And she missed it because she just wasn't paying attention, probably, but also whatever is inside comes out. And we could be so much like this woman. Sometimes, you know, we don't even see all of what God has done. We miss it completely. Lots of times we're busy worrying about what other people are doing, what other people have, what they have in their bank accounts, what relationships they have, what relationships we don't have. And we just miss what the Lord has planned for us. And so we lack gratitude. Now, a lack of gratitude is not new. It is not a millennial thing. It is not a Gen Z thing. It's not an old folks thing. It is a human condition. And it started in the garden. Did you see any gratitude in the garden? That was a huge problem. So this has been around, and I am so grateful that we started this series, 1,000 Gifts by Ann Voskamp. Our church has been doing this series over the last couple of weeks, and it has just been an incredible awakening time, a time to really remember the importance of counting our blessings, the importance of making a list, naming our blessings, writing it down. I've started my list. Have you started your list? Hopefully you're started your list and you're a part of this because we're just having a phenomenal time. And once you really begin to write your blessings down, well, I lost track, really, because if you start noticing, really, and looking at the big and small things, your blessings are innumerable. So what an amazing, amazing time this has been. Our fantastic small group began this series months ago. Thank you, Will. Shout out to you for suggesting that. And honestly, I thought, oh my goodness, another book to read. You know how that is. Another book on Thanksgiving. And we can do that with messages sometimes. Okay, another message on this. And then we kind of tune out, right? And we can miss out on the message that God has for us. And as we were doing this series, I got sucker punched. I mean, I got punched in the gut to just really begin to see how ungrateful I can be at times. I mean, a lot of times. And it's been such a good, so good for me, because I'm learning the difference between normal gratitude, kind of like gratitude we see all the time. Someone says, thank you for holding the door. You know, you go to Chick-fil-A and they give you that, it's our pleasure to serve you. And that's wonderful. And we get to see that. But what we don't normally see is a gratitude that results from your relationship with Jesus, a gratitude that overflows from Jesus. That is a different kind of gratitude. A gratitude in times of trouble and turbulence and turmoil is different. A gratitude in the best of times and in the worst of times looks different. A gratitude when things don't go our way, a gratitude when we feel alone and like we can't get out of this pit, is a different kind of gratitude. A gratitude during times of uncertainty is different. We can relate to Ann Voskamp when she asks, how in the world, for the sake of my joy and salvation, do we learn to use Eucharisteo to overcome our ugly and self-destructive habit of ingratitude? How do we do it? We have to learn a new language, is what she says. It's a foreign language to us. And those of you that have learned a foreign language, you know it takes time and practice. So everybody, relax. If you don't get it yet, it's fine. I've been a Christian for 30-something years, and I'm still learning to be more grateful on different levels. You know, I describe this type of gratitude we're going to be talking today about as audacious gratitude. Audacious, what a big word, right? It just means a willingness to take surprisingly bold, daring feats and risks for God. So what are some examples of this audacious gratitude? We can see a lot of examples in the Bible. First of all, Jesus was a number one example, okay? His life was a thank you, a big thank you to God. So he's a number one example. Other examples are, you can study Job and look at his gratitude in difficult times. Daniel, dancing David, Luke 7, the woman who anointed Jesus with her hair. So many examples, but next to Jesus, the number one grateful, I call him the grateful OG, was Paul. He was number one. His letters are filled with thanksgiving for the church, for Christ. He was a follower of Jesus, and he took the gospel of Christ to the first century world because of this gratitude. He is commonly regarded as the most influential disciple who walked the earth. So we have some things to learn from him. Number one, audacious gratitude starts inside. Say that with me. Starts inside. Because I know some of us are like, well, how do we get this? Where can we buy this? Who can we rub up against? Can it rub up or can it rub off on us? It starts inside. And he tells us how. I'm going to look at a scripture that he shares. He says, I am so grateful. I'm going to read it in the Message. Okay, I am so grateful to Christ Jesus for making me adequate to do this work. He went out on a limb, you know, entrusting me with this ministry. The only credentials I brought to it were violence and witch hunts and arrogance. But I was treated mercifully because I didn't know what I was doing, didn't know who I was doing it against. Grace mixed with faith and love poured over me and into me. And it's all because of Jesus. Here's a word you can take to heart and depend on. Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. And I am proof, public sinner number one, of someone who could never have made it apart from sheer mercy. And now he shows me off, evidence of his endless patience to those who are right on the edge of trusting him forever. Deep honor and bright glory to the King of all time. Paul. Paul was the best disciple, if we can call him that, who ever walked the earth. But I believe he was the best because he knew he was the worst. He was the chief of all sinners. Audacious gratitude admits that I am the worst. I'm not trying to fake this. I believe he was so grateful because he never forgot where he came from, and I talked about that before. He never forgot the mercy that he received from God. You can't put out what you don't pour in. So if that's not inside of you, that's not what's going to come out of you. You can't pretend to have this type of gratitude. You got to know it's only been because of God's mercy and grace that you're here and you are what you are today. And so that's why, like in Luke 7, you know, Jesus told the story to the Pharisee. That's that story about that sinful woman who goes to the Pharisee's house uninvited and wipes Jesus' feet with her hair and her tears, pours her tears on those feet. And the Pharisees start looking down on her because she's a sinful woman. Like, he forgot that he's sinful too, right? Jesus knows his thoughts and tells him, I'm going to tell you a story here, bro. Come, let me tell you a story. He says, two people owed money to a certain moneylender. One owed him 500 denarii and the other 50. Neither of them had the money to pay him back. They're in trouble. So he forgave the debts of both. Now, which of them will love him more? Simon replied, I suppose the one who had the bigger debt forgiven. You're right, Simon. The one who had the bigger debt forgiven. The point is, your gratitude, my gratitude level will reflect our love level. Our gratitude level will show how much we know we've been forgiven of in the past and every single day. So what does it look like? What does it look like? What does this type of gratitude look like? Well, it affects our actions and our choices and, you know, how we get up every day and how we go about our days. How do we reflect that? Let's look at it. Audacious gratitude overflows. It overflows. So Paul is helping the church in Colossae, and he's helping them to understand who they are in Christ, why they are the disciples that they are, and what they're there for. And he tells them, since then, just as Jesus Christ, you received him as your Lord, continue to live in him, and continue to be rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. Say that with me. Overflowing with thankfulness. That's Colossians 2, 6 through 7. Picture what we're talking about here. Picture that you're carrying water. You're walking into a room and you're carrying the water and somebody bumps into you. What happens? Well, that water spills. It goes everywhere. But I like to think about soda. You're carrying a soda can with soda in it, that fizzy stuff, that good stuff, the good stuff I can't have right now. Someone bumps into you and that thing explodes and goes everywhere. You can't even control it. It came out that little hole. You're stressing out because it touches everything. When you are overflowing in gratitude, when someone steps on that nerve, when someone pushes you just the way you don't want to be pushed, what comes out? What comes out? What will come out is what you have in. So overflowing means excessive, obsessive thankfulness. Excessively appreciative and praising God and thanking God for what? For everything. Say that with me. Everything. After all, what do you have that you did not receive from God? 1 Corinthians 4:7. Okay. So have you ever been described as being excessively thankful? I know I haven't. Nobody has ever said, Sean, you are excessively thankful. Wow. That's to my shame. You know, I can obsess about a lot of things. We all can obsess about a lot of things, but can we be described as being obsessively thankful to God and to the people around us that have served us and loved us? You know, I am convicted by this because I have been around some really excessively grateful people. Cynthia Hines is one of those people, Cynthia Hines. And I just love her. But one of the things that convicts me about her every time I'm with her, I was just with her this past weekend. From the time she became a Christian till now, that woman is so grateful. It comes out in every conversation, every little talk, every small group, no matter when it is. It's been years now. She expresses her gratitude for God, what he's done in her life, for the people who've helped her, and it doesn't end. And it's a little bit uncomfortable for me because I don't feel comfortable always with people like thanking me and all that. I don't feel that, right? But it's that kind of like she is letting it pour out of her. There is nothing fake about this. So you can't fake this. You can't pretend this. You can't play this. You can't make this up. It's got to be inside. And this kind of overflowing does not care what other people think, doesn't care what it looks like. When that woman came in Luke 7 into that Pharisee's home, she did not care what the people in the town said about her. It doesn't care when you stand up at service and you hold your hands up and nobody else is doing it, but you're doing it because you're thankful and you're praising God and you're lifting your hands. You don't care what anybody else is thinking. It's overflowing. You know, sometimes I miss this because I'm too busy to remember. I'm too busy going on to the next thing. Sometimes I forget easily, right? I talked about that in the last time I spoke. I forget easily the things and the ways that God has blessed me. But overflowing gratitude is not passive. It is not passive. It's the kind of thing where we won't have to guess if you are excessively grateful. We can see it. We can watch it. It's an action, okay? You got to do something and not just say something. It's the way we live and the way we give and the way we serve. People should know it and see it in you if you are audaciously grateful. You know, this kind of gratitude that we're talking about, the audacious gratitude, is not based on a situation. And we've been hitting this all through this series where, you know, Mike spoke and Angel spoke. It's not based on a situation. And that's challenging because we all know it is easy to be grateful when, you know, people are nice to us and things are going well and that check is in and people do what they say they're going to do and we're happy and we see life going the way we want it to go. It's very difficult when we don't see those things. It's very difficult. And sometimes we wonder, I don't know if you're like me, we wonder, is it really possible? Like, is that a typo in the Bible? Like, all things, really? I know I heard you say it, but did Jesus really mean it, right? There's got to be some other explanation for it. Is that reasonable to ask of us because you know us, God? Well, in all things, is it possible to have audacious gratitude in times of trouble, in tragedy, in COVID, in divorce, in disaster, in loss? Is it possible? Well, let's ask Paul, the person that we've been focusing on today. Let's ask Paul. Brother Paul, is it possible? He says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. What's the answer? It's not just possible. It's not just possible, but through prayer and thanksgiving, you will receive peace. Amazing. He says it over and over again. It's not just possible. It is necessary. It is a command. God knows what he is talking about. That's why he tells us how and that we should be thankful in all circumstances. So this is not coming from Sean. Don't get mad at me right now. Don't feel uncomfortable with me right now. I'm the one who needs to obey that scripture more than anybody, probably. That scripture challenges me more than anybody. This is coming from a guy who says, you think you know something? You think you've been through something, my friend? I've worked much harder. I've been jailed more often. I've been beaten up more times than I can count. Wow, Roman rods have been on me 3 times. I've been pummeled with rocks. I've been shipwrecked 3 times. I've been immersed in the open sea for a night and a day. I've had a hard time traveling year after year. I've had to ford rivers, fend the robbers, struggle with friends, struggle with foes. I've been at risk in the city, at risk in the country. I've been endangered in the desert sun, in the sea storm. I've been betrayed by those who were my brothers. I've known the hard work of labor, the many long nights, no sleep, missed meals, been cold and naked in the weather. And that's not all of it. When you throw in the daily pressures of and anxieties that I feel for all the church, when someone gets to the end of his rope, I feel the desperation in my bones. When someone is duped in sin, I'm angry and fire burns within me. He says, I understand. Look at my life. Look at what I've been through. And still I say, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything prayer. I also say, I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need. I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or living in want. So, my friends, it's not the situation that determines our thanksgiving. It's the Savior in the situation. It's not that we're thankful for these horrible, hard times and gruesome situations. It's that we're thankful in these horrible, hard times and hard situations. Because we know who's in the situation with us. So this week, as you continue to read 1,000 Gifts, as you continue to count your blessings, as you get the opportunity to be with family and friends prayerfully this week, and if you have nowhere to go, I would invite you to reach out to Mike and I, the Pattersons. But as you continue to just bask in all that God has done for you, let's focus on bringing that list to life. Let's focus on living that gratitude. Let's focus on having that audacious gratitude that makes God smile. Let's let our gratitude overflow for Thanksgiving and not just get caught up in the recipes and the arrangements and all of that, but really expressing what's inside to our family and friends around us so that we can make the most of this opportunity. Because if we've learned anything from the last 2 years, we've learned time is short. We're not promised tomorrow. We have this time this week to pour all of the Thanksgiving that we have inside of us outside. So I invite you to do that. As we prepare for communion, let's take some time to reflect on the body and blood of Jesus that was shed for us, the Eucharisteo, so that we can have this relationship with Jesus that we would not trade. We can have it here on earth and we can have it for eternity. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Almighty God, Savior, Lord, King, the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega, we just bow our hearts in awe of you. We can never repay you for who you are and what you've done. But Lord, as we take this communion into our own bodies, God, we pray that we will also just take in the love that you have for us, the forgiveness that you have for us, the vision, the dream, and the passion that you have for us, God, and help it to truly, truly change who we are and how we live. We thank you so much for all of it, God, for the body that was broken, for the blood that was shed for us. We do not want to take it for granted. We do not want to be ungrateful, God. So help us every single day as we live and walk with your Son to be more and more like him. We love you. We pray all these things in your Son's name.
Thanks for listening to this week's sermon. New sermons are uploaded each Monday morning. Simply search The Path Church Atlanta in iTunes, Spotify, or your favorite podcasting service. Additionally, we greatly appreciate your feedback on iTunes. If you would like to learn more about The Path, we encourage you to visit www.thepath.church. We hope to fellowship with you soon.